Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Deuteronomy. This is chapter 29, and there are 29 verses in chapter 29 of Deuteronomy. And this has to do with, the first part of this chapter has to do with Moses reviewing the terms of the covenant to the people of Israel. And to most people, these are just so many words about rehearsing in the ears of Israel, or rehearsing in your ears when you're reading the Bible, the terms of the covenant. What does that mean, rehearsing the terms of the covenant with the people of Israel? What it means is that we have to come to terms with ourselves as to what it is that we have to do in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. And that's what covenant is all about. The Lord says, if you keep my commandments, then I will save you. I will get you into the kingdom of God. Well, you said no. John 3:16 says, those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, but that means those who believe in the covenant. And he knows that we believe in the covenant if we read what the covenant is and then keep the covenant. And so that's why Moses, that's why God himself on Mount Sinai, he had all the people of Israel gathered below the mountain so that everyone could hear what the terms of the covenant were. And never before had God let any nation all at once hear his voice. These were his people, and he made a covenant with them that if they would do what he told them, that he would give them the promised land. In other words, that's all symbolic of giving them the kingdom of heaven. And the Old Testament is our school master telling us, the law is the schoolmaster, telling us how we can avoid being punished by the law. And that the law was given to Moses by God. The law is, he says, now here's the terms of the covenant. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's the main one, because if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that means if you love your own soul with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you're going to keep the covenant with God, because if you don't, the terms of the covenant are that if you do, you'll have all the blessings here on earth, and you'll enter into the kingdom of God for eternity. And if you don't, the terms of the covenant are that you'll get all the curses that are written in the book. And yesterday we read in chapter 28 all the blessings and all the cursings that were written in the book. And so Moses in chapter 29 here is rehearsing the terms of the covenant with everybody. Even after God had uttered the terms of the covenant so that the entire nation of Israel could hear it. Now, the nation of Israel is only symbolic of the real nation of Israel, the spiritual nation of Israel, which we who are born of the Spirit are. And we have to know that if we break the covenant, that the covenant, the promises are taken away from us. The blessings are taken away from us. And that involves also not being able to enter into the kingdom of God. Not only are we broke and full of disease and all kinds of insanity, madness, and our children cursed. You can't make ends meet in this world. All these things happen if we don't study the covenant, what we must do, in other words, in order to get into the kingdom of heaven and be blessed abundantly in this world without sickness, disease, infirmities, and to have perfect health and have financial help. You don't really have to be a skilled person, because a lot of the people that have been saved were never skilled at all. Once some of them knew how to fish, and They weren't even that skilled at it because one night they had been fishing all night long and couldn't even get one fish. But when they were led by the Lord, who is the Spirit, told them to drop the nets on a certain side of the boat, and they would have plenty of fish. Well, there was so many fish in the net after they did reluctantly did it that the nets almost broke, and it almost sunk the boat. Amen?
Amen.
So the life, the covenant is, or the promise is that if you keep the commandments, God will lead you into all richness. And into, and part of the richness of this life is good health. Part of this life, the richness of this life is that we have happiness and joy. That we love we love it that we're saved, and it's great peace and joy and happiness to know that we're free from the addictions of this world, or the addictions that we've had in this world. And a lot of people think, when they're first saved, they say, well, God saved my soul. I'm saved. And I'm going to heaven. And then they think that, a lot of times when you're saved, the Lord starts is dealing really strong with you and leads and guides and directs you for the first few months or years that you're saved. Then it seems as though you're not really hearing from the Lord. And then there'll be some things that'll happen in your life that'll cause you to not feel the presence of the Lord as much as you did before, because the Lord is putting you on a desert walk, because he wants to see if you're going to keep the covenant even after you don't feel his powerful spirit, his force upon you, and even though he's not leading and guiding you too much as he did before. He wonders if you're going to, he's testing you to see if you're going to be led by the Word of God rather than, which is spirit and life too, but that you're not going to throw in the towel just because he takes this, the presence of his spirit, or the spirit is still in you, but you just don't feel the leading of the spirit as much as you did when you first got saved. Well, the Lord wants you to learn the word so well and learn this covenant, the terms of this covenant, of how God will keep this promise with you. And he wants to see if you're going to keep the terms of the covenant. He keeps letting us know in his word that he is not just a God of love, but that he's a God of hate, wrath and hate, and that he's a terrorist, and that he shows us in his word that he will put us on test runs, and he will tell us to do things that we think are impossible, because he will tell you to do things that are in the natural impossible to see if you'll go ahead and do it. It's like the other night, Ronald Jones told me, Tony, there's a big hurricane coming for New Orleans. And he says, he heard that, that I've prayed before for tornadoes when they were coming and they went away. And when there was rain, it was just pouring down rain and flooding. And people would ask me to pray that it didn't rain, or I'd be going to a city and it was raining so bad and we forgot our umbrellas. So I'd ask the Lord to, Lord, turn the rain off for a while, will you? Because I don't have any umbrellas. And he'd do it every time that I asked him. And then one time, I was in prison for the gospel. And one time it was so hot, it was a season where all the farmers couldn't, they just had their cattle were dying because there was a drought. There was no rain. And they were having to sell their cattle real fast, and nobody wanted to buy them because there was no feed, no grass anywhere. And people were stuck with those cattle, and they were losing a lot of money. And I remember that I was in the laundry, and it was so hot in there, and it was hot outside. Everywhere you'd go, it was hot. And in this prison laundry, they didn't have any air conditioning in there. They had these a couple of these big fans. And there was a loading dock in the back of the laundry where all of us would sit. I was one of the only white people there. Everyone else was black or Mexican. And the black people were telling me, look at those Mexicans in there. You see, did you ever notice how they can take the heat? And here they're just working, feeding the these dryers, and the dryers are just baking you in there. And one of them says, I was saying, Lord, they were saying, if you know the Lord, ask, and why don't you ask him to cool it down? So I said, yes, Lord. I says, cool it down. Lord, let it rain or something so that to give some relief here. And I started walking to the first part, the front part of the laundry, and it was like blue sky out there. I mean, perfectly blue and just heat waves all over the place. And you could see this yellow, scummy type stuff that was pollen or something. The trees were shedding some kind of a yellow cottonwood. I don't know what it was. It was all over the place. And so about 10 or 15 seconds, I turned my back from this open space where they were all, we were all sitting out there talking on that dock. And all of a sudden, I heard thunder and lightning. I looked back. The skies were all black, and it was just pouring down rain. Okay. So he heard about these things. This has happened a lot in my life. We were sitting in the office one day, and it was just thundering and lightning, and they were saying tornadoes are coming. And I said, Lord God, take this away from us. You know, don't let any of these tornadoes hit it and stop this rain. And there was a bunch of people in this office. And all of a sudden it stopped. And I says, Lord, see, the Lord did that right away because I asked him. I went outside, and I everybody rushed to the door because they couldn't believe that it had stopped so quickly. And we all looked out the door, and here it was this perfectly blue sky around us where we were. And the birds in the yard were out there chirping and everything just like it was a spring day. And everywhere else around us, you could see a few, maybe 2 or 3 miles one way, all different ways around us. There was like thunder and lightning, but it was just like a beautiful spring day. And the birds were so happy. And, you know, the birds can tell when there's going to be a storm and when it's over, you know. And everybody just was amazed. Yeah. And I'm always amazed when the Lord does it too. But when you keep the terms of the covenant, you can call upon the Lord and he'll do that. Well, anyway, when Ronald Jones asked me the other day to pray that hurricane would not hit New Orleans, because they were evacuating. 1 million people evacuated that area. Because they said it's coming right straight for New Orleans. And so I says, okay, Ronald, I'll pray that it'll go away. And the instant that I did, the Lord told me it's not going to hit New Orleans. And this is around 3 or 3.5, 4 days ago. And I said, Ronald, it's not going to hit New Orleans. And I told everybody in the house and everybody around that, no, the Lord said it's not. And here it was still buzzing right for it. And I said, it's not going to destroy New Orleans. And New Orleans is quite a ways below sea level. And they had 10,000 body bags ready for the people because they knew at least 10,000 people were going to die. They were going to drown because New Orleans is like a bowl and it's below sea level. And they all said it's just going to wipe everybody out in town, everyone that doesn't get out of town. They were saying they got to get out of Dodge. And I said, no, it's not going to hit there. Don't worry about it. God told me. And I was very sure because he told me strongly. And two nights afterwards, we saw on the news that the storm heading right straight for New Orleans, it was almost there. It made a sudden right-hand turn and started heading east, northeast. And they said, it's not going to hit New Orleans. And I said, I told you. The Lord told me. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's a beautiful thing about the covenant is that if you keep God's covenant, a lot of people say commandments, and I say it too, but keeping the covenant is keeping the commandments. Then everything is yours. Everything belongs. Whatsoever you ask, it doesn't make any difference if it's like a storm coming towards you, if it's cancer, tuberculosis, if it's whatever, athlete's feet. You know, a lot of people suffer with jungle rot on their feet and every kind of thing under the sun. And, of course, all the other dreaded diseases that we have in the world today, you just simply ask the Lord, you know, take it away, Father, in the name of Jesus. And if you're keeping his covenant, and if you know the terms of the covenant and you're keeping it, but there's no way for you to, then the Lord will do whatever you ask. He says, if you keep his commandments, then, and he says, if I abide in you, my words and my life abides in you, and that means the everyday life of God abides in you, and your everyday life abides in him, then whatsoever you ask, I mean, you can save cities, towns, countries, by just praying to the Lord that you don't let anybody die, Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing, this knowing the terms of the covenant, because it's just everything in this world, and it's just everything in this world to come. So these are the terms of the covenant that we're going to hear Moses reiterating in the ears of all the people of Israel in chapter 29 here. And, you know, a lot of people, when they first get saved, they think that, oh, gosh, that's, he puts you on the test run after a while. And people say, well, you know, God saved me, and I'm his fair-haired boy. That's a thing that, or fair-haired girl. And a lot of people get that into their head, and they think they can start, you know, going crazy a little bit, sinning a little bit, and then they get away, and God doesn't smash them immediately. So they think they can go on, and they'll scheme on one another. Yeah, they'll start usurping authority, then they'll start lusting. And this is definitely against the terms of the covenant. This is the part of the covenant that causes you to get curses. And then some people actually get it into their head because God isn't smashing them immediately, or killing them immediately, that it's all right to fornicate, that it's all right to lust after the things of this world. And when the Lord plainly says the terms of the covenant is for you to separate yourself from the lust of this world, the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and to stay that way, even if you don't feel his a powerful leading, then we have the Bible, which is spirit and life, to go by. And that's the terms of the covenant, is be led by the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Okay? The lust of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Amen?
Amen.
And so a lot of people say, well, I don't need to read the Bible. How are you going to know what the terms of the covenant are? So that you can have this position with the God, this relationship with the Lord, as I have in regard to calling upon the Lord for the things that are that happen in life, that are catastrophes coming and so on, and you have them turned away. Like Joshua was in the middle of a battle. And this sounds impossible to you because it is in the natural. Absolutely impossible to ask the Lord to stop the sun and the moon so that he can finish off this battle. But Joshua had faith, and he says, Father, you know, stop the sun and the moon. Let me finish this battle off today. Amen?
Amen?
And the Lord did it. And a lot of people say, well, that was impossible. But when they were making the equations to get to the moon, they had to do it mathematically, and they had to do it according to days and nights and moons and all the different days of the earth and so on, in order to make sure that the satellite would hit that target, the moon, and that everything, that they couldn't get it right until they read the Bible. One of the people that were working in NASA or Cape Canaveral, I said, well, look, maybe let's believe the Bible for a moment here. Let's take into consideration where the Lord made the sundial go back for that one person. You remember how many hours? No. And then for the sun and the moon to stop for a certain amount of hours, and it says in the Bible what portion of the day. It went around, I think it was 10 degrees, 5 or 10 degrees, something. I haven't read that portion for a while. And then he says, when they did that, then all the equations came out and this rocket was able to go to the moon. But without believing the Bible, the scientists, these technicians could not make the proper equations in order for the the rocket to get off the ground and hit, go to the moon where they wanted it to go. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
And so it proves that if a man such as Joshua just knew that the Lord can do everything and knew that he had to keep the terms of the covenant, that he could ask God anything, the things that were absolutely impossible, they would come to pass. But how can you know these things if you don't study the Bible, the Word of God? How can you have the confidence or have the faith to know that you can do these things unless you read the Word? The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So if you study the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Bible says that the Old Testament is our examples of what we are supposed to do, amen, in order to be enter into the kingdom of heaven and to have a blessed life here, a life without cursings, amen?
Amen.
So I pray that, let's all pray to the Father that he'll open everyone's ears to hear the terms of this covenant, and that people will, he says that we need to study the Word, that we can be workmen. That means workmen, spiritual workmen, that we can have enough of the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God in us, to be able to, and have the faith in us from the Word, to be able to do a work of God, so that we can have this relationship with the Lord, to call upon him for different gifts that we want from him. Some of you want gifts of prophecy. Some of you would like to be pastors. Some would like to be teachers and preachers. Some of you that are hearing this tape would love to be able to know that you're going to heaven so that you could have joy and happiness every day of your life, no matter what catastrophe is hitting you, and that you know that you're going through a storm, but you know also by faith that the storm is going to be over. And after the storm is over, you're going to have sunshine and happiness and joy. And even through the storm, you're going to have that, because you know that the Lord is going to take you through that storm. And so the terms of the covenant are so important for us to know and do. If we have faith in the Word of God, then we know the Bible says that we're going to do exploits in the last days. But it'll be God in us leading us to do these exploits. And we must have the faith to put all sinful things down. We have to put everything that is sinful, and we know that is sinful in this world. And I'm talking to you presidents, you administrator people in the administration, you kings, and, everybody in the world. God does not want your soul to go to hell. But on the other hand, he will punish and he will curse you in love to try to get you to see the light. You surely must know that if you're being cursed, that if you have been listening to these tapes, that you know where it's coming from. Surely you must know that, and surely you see the terms of the covenant and know that this, you must stop doing these things and then turn around and begin serving the Lord. And if you're still alive, I don't believe that with many of you that it's too late. Just repent, confess the things that you've done. Because repent and start going. Don't look to the left or the right and just start serving the Lord, so you can have, God is no respecter of persons. If you'll do what he says, he said that all these things would happen unto you, everybody. So it's like God offers these terms to everyone. But we also have to remember, if we don't, well, then the terms of the covenant is that we're going to be cursed and he'll destroy us. You say, well, that's not a God of love. Yes, it is. Because he tells you how to be blessed. And he warns you that if you don't, that's love. An evil God would tell you, oh, here, you're just going to get all blessings. Then don't tell you what's going to happen to you if you get cursed. And then you just run into curses and then be destroyed. And then what kind of a God would that be that wouldn't love you enough to tell you where the danger is? How could I be a good person if I saw you, or if you were a blind person, you're walking into a freeway where cars are going 100 miles an hour, And I would warn you. Well, that's all it is that God is doing, is warning you that if you walk on the freeway of lusts, yeah, of this world, and you don't set your eyes on God's covenant to keep it, not just to read the word, but to read it so that you can know what to do. The Apostle James says, I'll show you my faith by my works, by doing what the Lord says to do. But Lord God, we ask that you open everyone's ears to hear what the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, says unto a person that is a church. Know you not that you're one of the rooms that the Lord lives in? You must be born again. You must be a person that is you were born in the flesh, and now you have to let the Lord room in you. This is called being born again of the Spirit. In my Father's house are many rooms. In other words, the Lord came into the world as a man. And that's why we praise Jesus, because he as a man was born of the Spirit. He was born again of the Spirit when he was born, from day one. Even in his mother's womb, he was born of the Spirit. And so he's saying, in my Father's house are many people that the Spirit of God will room in too. Now you're all sinners, but I came into the world so that you could be rooms that the Father would live in, that you'd be one of the Lord's rooms or mansions or houses that he is in. And that if you let him live in you, then you can live the same kind of life that I did. Instead, we praise God the Father, and we praise this human being who was born of the Spirit from the day he was born. And he says we can have the same experience of being born again, even though we were not born of the Spirit when in our mother's womb like he was. We can be born again of the Spirit as he was whenever we are convicted of our sins. And when we've had enough of this cursings in this world, we've had enough of failures in this world, we've had enough of lusts, because we so see that all it does is bring curses. And then we just turn to the Lord and say, I want to throw the towel in on this world, or I want to end it now, because I can see from your Old Testament and the New Testament that there's no blessings on anyone that lives the kind of life that I live. I want to live your kind of life, the Jesus kind of life. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So, Father, bless this chapter and let everyone learn the terms of the covenant. And there's so much. If we just do these, we'll be more than able to keep all the other commandments that you have in the Word of God, because with your Spirit in us, we're more than conquerors, and we can do all things if your Spirit is rooming in us. And when your Spirit is rooming in us, that destroys the lust, it kills the desires of the flesh, all the lusts, it takes away all that. And we enjoy life for once, because we know we're saved. And we have peace, because we know if the breath goes out of our body, we're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And you talk about happiness. That's the happiest thing in your life, to know that you're going to spend eternity in heaven. And then when the blessings start rolling in, when you become, you let the Lord live his life out in you, and you become a soul winner, oh, there's nothing in the world like it. And then when your friends ask you to pray for them, you do, and here they get healed. I mean, it's just beautiful, because, and you win them to the Lord, and in eternity, you'll see them, they'll see you walking down the street, and they'll yell at you and say, thank you, Sally, thank you, Buster, thank you, Sanford and Terry, for causing me to be here. Thank you, Lydia. Thank you, Bert. And whoever you are that are there, they'll say, thank you. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for you preaching this gospel. Lord, bless this chapter into everyone's heart in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 I just told you how you can have, all the blessings that you couldn't even imagine, the blessings that you'll have. And I also, the chapter 28 tells you how you could also have all the curses. And most of the people are living under the curse. And that's why God has sent us preachers into the world to But tell you the terms of the covenant, so that if you do keep it, you at least know how to what to do, so that you can also be blessed like us. So we're not your enemies at all. I'm not your enemy. And any true born of the Spirit Christian that's preaching the Word of God to you is not your enemy. They're the best friend you ever had outside of Jesus, and it's because Jesus is in them. All right? If Jesus is in them, if the Father is in them, the whole Godhead is in them, it's like Christ is visiting you. God Almighty is visiting you when you hear them talk. So let's get going here and let's read this. Praise the Lord. This is chapter 29, verse 1.
The terms of the covenant, King James Version, verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb.
And we are the children of Israel. The Lord says that through Paul, the Apostle Paul says, all Israel is not Israel. I mean, all the, you know, the people that are not born again of the Spirit in Israel are not Israel. Only those of us that are born again of the Spirit are Israel, Israelites. Hallelujah. Amen. But we pray, oh God, let these Israelites, the Jews, be saved. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That means that they will be, have the same peace in us that we have. All right? No matter if there's wars or over there or whatever, they have the peace of the Lord. They have the Prince of Peace in them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else?
Verse 2, And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt.
And now we're seeing it when we read the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
So that builds faith in them and faith in us. You know, we have the faith of the Lord in us too. Amen?
Amen.
Not faith in us, but faith in God in us. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto
He wrecked them because, he didn't have faith. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And unto all his land.
And then when he did that, when Moses called out to the Lord and told, asked him to, because God said, I'm going to do it, just like he told me he's going to stop New Orleans from being destroyed because of a little simple prayer from me. And Ronald Jones was the one that asked me to do it. And I says, all right, Ronald, why does Ronald want it to not be destroyed? Because he just bought a house in New Orleans, amen? And a lot of his relatives are there. And he felt, he was so... He really is a Christian himself, and he just didn't want anybody to be hurt there. And he's the one that came into the church today and told me, along with Kenny, and they both says, Tony, it's all over the news. They said that the actual hand of God came down and turned that hurricane to the east and the northeast and turned it away. He says they had 10,000 body bags. Were any of you there when he said that?
Yes.
You were?
I was.
Uh-huh. You heard him say that?
Yes, I did.
Amen. And that's on the news. And Kenny, I just recently met him, and I wasn't really sure that he was a Christian or not, but he had the twinkle in his eye, and he came over and grabbed me and hugged me. A great big hug. Because he's the TV producer, and they're both TV producers, and also Kenny is a drummer and a piano player. And he plays drum now and then with some of the big stars, such as, he doesn't do it anymore with the Rock and Rollers, but he used to be with Little Richard. And he still does, he's on terms with him, and Richard, I hear, is saved too. I knew Richard before I was a Christian. And there's so many other people, I mean, that are going to get saved from this. Yeah, this is a big, mighty move of the Lord, and it needs to be said. But even the commentators on radio and on television were all saying it was the hand of God. The hand of God. It was coming straight for us, and it just turned, 90 degrees turn, and took off a different direction. They said, Tony, everybody would have been killed there. He told me they got 10,000 body bags there. So that's why it's so important to keep the covenant, to know the terms of the covenant and keep it so that you can do that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
Verse 3. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Verse 4. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day.
No, the Lord really doesn't give you a heart like that, but what he does is he gives you the word, and you're supposed to have that. You're supposed to take the things that the Lord says to heart so that you have a heart that understands these things and begins seeking the Lord because of all the terms of the covenant, the promises that he makes. Amen?
Amen.
You're supposed to take that upon yourself. God, you know, we're all born sinners. God could, if he wanted to, you know, cause it such to be otherwise, but he didn't. He wants us to seek him with all of our heart. We have to take that upon ourselves because that's what the first commandment is, to love God with all the heart, all the soul, all the mind and strength. And we don't have that kind of a heart, so we have to study in order to cultivate a heart like that. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Those are instructions, you know. That's the way to do it. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, where are you going to get clear instructions like this? Amen?
Amen?
It's right in the Word of God. And he's given it to me in the Spirit so that you can understand it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I had no idea what the Lord's going to give me in this message tonight, you know, but this is what he's given me. And so you can tell it's the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You feel the Spirit? I do.
Amen.
All right, what else?
Verse 5. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy
That's
foot.
That's a miracle. You know, we have a lot of people, and we all have all these finance lists, and man, you know, for a pair of shoes the last 40 years, my God, we'd save a lot of money. Amen?
Amen.
And all the clothes are not wax old. Oh, you know, some of these people have to have new wardrobes every 3 months. Okay, then what?
Verse 6. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God.
Right, now even though they did this serve wine, or they had wine, and they also had to give tithes of hard liquor to the priests, the Lord does not allow drunkenness. And they use that mainly, I believe, for medicinal purposes, whenever somebody needed to have something done to them, they didn't have enough faith to call upon the Lord for healing. And they would take these things, or if people were dying in pain, they'd give them alcohol and things like that to take the pain away. But now we have the Holy Spirit. We don't need those things. Amen?
Amen.
We don't need hard liquor or booze of any kind, wine and all that. So all we need is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
That's all we need. And then we've got it made. You know why? Because Jesus takes away all the pain. If you got pain, call me. I guarantee you, and the pain will go away right away when I pray to the Lord. I don't care what kind of pain you got. If it's in your shoulder, your tooth, your eyes, your shoulders, your body, anywhere, the pain will leave right away when I pray for you because that's the Lord will gives me that gift, and he'll heal you too. If you're desirous of keeping the covenant with him, we'll pray together and God will heal you right away. All right? Then what?
And when ye came unto this place, Sihon the king of Heshbon and Og the king of Bashan came out against us unto battle, and we smote them. Verse 8. And we took their land and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh. Verse 9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. Verse 10. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders and your officers, with all the men of Israel. Verse 11. Your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water. Verse 12. That thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day.
Yeah, the covenant is just, you know, here's the terms of the covenant, keep all these commandments, and it's just the terms of his promises. If you want all his promises or covenants, then make a promise to the Lord, and don't break it. He won't break his if you don't break yours. Amen? He'll never leave or forsake you if you don't leave and forsake him. But if you leave and forsake him, you won't have him anymore. Okay, so like if you have in the past, stay in the Spirit. And you will not till you'll be able to rule your mouth, your temperament, your hang-ups, every hang-up you've got, you'll be powerful in the Lord, because the Lord is powerful in you. All right, then what?
Verse 13, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Verse 14, neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath. Verse 15, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day.
That means Gentiles in the future and those of us today. We weren't with them. Amen?
Amen.
And, and all you Gentiles out there, you weren't with them on that day. But the Lord said that Abraham would be the father of many nations, not just the Israelites, not just the Jews, but with the people of any nation, all the nations that would receive him, that will make covenant with him, that will make a promise with him, that want his promises. That want his promises. I realize you have to keep your side of the bargain too. God is a Jewish God, and he says, you come unto me and I'll come unto you. You turn your back on me and I'll turn my back on you. That's the deal. Amen?
Amen.
So remember that, all you Jews and Gentiles. Okay, because we can't be a Jew or a Gentile anymore. We got to be a spiritual Jew. Amen?
Amen.
Of the tribe of Judah. That's the tribe that Jesus is from. Then what?
Verse 16. For ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by.
Yeah, in other words, we've been in Egypt. We lived under curses. Lord, we were like servants and slaves over there. We were beaten all day long. We worked in the hot sun. When we'd have a child, if it was a boy, they'd make us kill it. They'd make us... They told the people that would bring forth children to kill the baby boys. I mean, this was terrible oppression and a terrible curse to be in such a place. And they cried out that God would deliver them from all the curses. And so he says, I will, but go out to Moses and tell them. And he says, I'll deliver them, but that's my covenant, my promise. But if they'll keep my covenant. Now, here's the terms of the covenant. And so when they did, out they went. Amen?
Amen.
And if you acknowledge the blood, the symbolic meaning of the blood of my son that's going to be shed on the cross in the future, if you believe in him, then I'll take you out. And those that don't acknowledge the blood of my son on their doorposts and on their mantle, I'm going to kill the firstborn of everyone in the whole land of Egypt, and he did. Amen?
Amen.
And because they were going to be his people and going to keep his covenant, he opened up the Red Sea for them on top of all the other 10 plagues that he brought on Egypt and got them out of there. He still opened the Red Sea and drowned the Egyptian armies. Amen? Every single one of them. And when they got on, they went through the Red Sea on dry ground. And then when they got on the shoreline over there, all of them danced and sang and praised the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Because it was joyful. They were saved. Amen?
Amen.
And they were no longer oppressed. Even they could have made it to the promised land in days, but they started murmuring about such foolish things as food. Even after God had promised, just get onto the promised land, do everything I say, don't murmur and complain, and you'll have all the food you want when you get there. What is it? Just a few days' journey. But instead, they wouldn't listen to him after they saw him do such great and mighty deeds. And we see them in the book, and yet some of the people have fallen into lusts. And you have to pull out of it. You've got to, because he will surely... Even though you are deceived, even though you feel that God is going to be different with you than he was with others, he will not be different with you. He's no respecter of persons. If you're sinning, if you're lusting, he will destroy you. So just that's part of the covenant. That's part of it. To serve the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that means to keep your mind on him, not on the corruption that you see in this world today. And there's a lot of it. and we're living in the hour of temptation, he says he'll deliver us from that if we keep the covenant, if we keep our eyes on him. Amen?
Amen.
That's the deal, that's the covenant, that's the promise. It's a promise from God himself. All right, go ahead now.
Verse 17. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them.
Well, you guys say, well, that's no big deal. Who cares? You know, about it. God cares. Okay? He doesn't like that. And so if you want his promises to fall upon you, then don't do it. You know, if, break all those statues in the Catholic cult, get rid of them and start serving the Lord. Stop being a pagan religion. And all the rest of you pagan religions out there, God is not a religion. He's salvation. Amen?
Amen.
He saves. God never called anybody into a religion. But he called us all into salvation. Religion is of the devil. Salvation is of the Lord. Then what?
Verse 18. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood.
Right, see, if you turn away from the Lord, then you're turning away from all the promises and eternal life. That doesn't make any sense, does it? What verse was that?
That was 18.
Okay, let's go into the translation here. Okay.
The terms of the covenant, translation verse 1 through 18. These are the terms of the covenant the Lord commanded Moses to make with the Israelites while they were in the land of Moab, in addition to the covenant he had made with them at Mount Sinai. Moses reviews the covenant to the Israelites. Verse 2. Moses summoned all the Israelites and said to them, quote, you have seen with your own eyes everything the Lord did in Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and his whole country. Verse 3. All the great tests of strength, the miraculous signs and amazing wonders. Verse 4. But to this day the Lord has not given you minds that understand, nor eyes that see, nor ears that hear! Exclamation mark.
Well, the Lord's done enough. He's not going to, totally mold you and make you like that, because he made you a free moral agent to choose to have a good heart or an evil heart. You have to choose, and you have to cultivate it. And he gives you the seed, the water, which is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, to cultivate your heart the way that the Lord says that you should, and that you must if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, you can turn away from me, and you're going to get all the curses and hell and the lake of fire. Okay, then what?
Verse 5. For 40 years I led you through the wilderness, yet your clothes and sandals did not wear out. Verse 6. You had no bread or wine or other strong drink, but he gave you food so you would know that he is the Lord your God. Verse 7. When we came here, King Sihon of Heshbon and King Og of Bashan came out to fight against us, but we defeated them. Verse 8. And took their land and gave it to the tribes of Reuben and Gad and to the half-tribe of Manasseh as their inheritance. Verse 9. Therefore obey the terms of this covenant, so that you will prosper in everything you do.
Everything you do. Amen?
Amen.
God, people just say, this is a hard knock, the world of hard knocks, This is a white man's world. And the women will say, it's a man's world, and there's nothing good's going to happen to us. And you're not believing God. Every good thing will happen to you if you do what he says. Amen?
Amen.
It's a big turnaround. Just do it, okay? And what else?
Verse 10, all of you, your tribal leaders, your judges, your officers, all the men of Israel are standing today before the Lord your God. Verse 11, with you are your little ones, your wives, and the foreigners living among you, who chop your wood and carry your water. Verse 12, you are standing here today to enter into a covenant with the Lord your God. The Lord is making this covenant with you today, and he has sealed it with an oath.
Yeah, now it says there's people there that chop wood and carry water. Well, a lot of people figure, no, we're just going to sit around. God's supposed to chop the wood and carry the water for us. Oh, no. No, no, no. If you don't work, you don't eat, the Lord said. That's part of the covenant. Amen?
Amen.
That's part of the terms of the covenant. That's what you got to do something. Okay? And he wants you to move as fast as you can But not so fast that you're going to make mistakes. Walk in the Spirit. And thou shalt not fulfill the lusts of the flesh thereof. And you will not fulfill the lusts of this world or the pride of life. Just walk in the Spirit and get things done for the Lord. And even if you think it's not for the Lord, washing dishes is not for the Lord. The Lord's watching every move you make. And if you're praising and thanking Him while you're doing the dishes and doing the washing and cleaning the rooms, and cleaning the, raking the yard, and spraying the yard, and fixing the different facilities, keeping them all nice and clean and everything. The Lord knows if you know that that's His property and that you're taking good care of it for Him. Amen?
Amen.
And He'd take a dishwasher and put them on top of the world. Amen? He took sheep herders, you know, and put them and made kings of Israel out of them. Amen?
Amen.
David and Saul and David, they're just nothing but hillbilly sheep herders, amen?
Amen.
They had their sheep up on the hills there. And all of a sudden they became king of Israel. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So He can take anybody. If He knows they've got a good and clean heart and that they just want to just do everything that the covenant says. They want to keep their end of the bargain, their end of the covenant, their promises to the Lord. He's going to exalt you because you've humbled yourself before Him to do whatever it is, to please Him. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I used to, when I first got saved, I thought I was a big shot because I had made lots of money. And the Lord, Susie said, I have to have a job as at a motel, a real Z-rated motel over in, I guess you'd call it a Z-rated motel on the Strip over in Las Vegas, and a wedding chapel there. And I wound up, we got hired, and I had to be the desk clerk when people come in and sign them up, and you know, go take them to their rooms. And then when they'd leave in the morning, I had to go in and change the sheets, clean the toilets and the wash basin and the showers, and take the old soap and throw it away, these little bars of soap that they have in there. And I had to vacuum the place up and empty the waste baskets and everything else. And then I'd have to put fresh towels on and fresh sheets and pillowcases and all that sort of stuff and disinfect everything. And then if the buzzer would ring, I'd have to run real fast and go into the office there and say, well, good afternoon, sir, or good evening, and you need a room? Oh, yes, we need, how many people are with you, and so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden you're in there, and you know the rooms that you've cleaned, and you can take them over to one of those rooms and bed them down. And then all of a sudden the buzzer rings, and you have to go next door over to the Cupid Wedding Chapel. And here's some people there, and they're just all happy and joyful, you know, they want to get married. Young and old, there's some people there that came in where they were like in their 70s and 80s, and they wanted to get married. And then, you know, we had a little reach-in refrigerator there, and we'd try to sell them an orchid or something for their little dress or something to put on there, and then want to know if they wanted their wedding ceremony taped, because we had a little tape machine there, and we'd ask them, you know, what kind of service would you like? And then we'd have to call a minister because I wasn't licensed as a minister in the state of Nevada. And according to, in Nevada, you have to be licensed there before you can marry somebody. Of course, I know better than that now, but when you're running a chapel, we didn't own it. We just were running it for this man named George. Well, you have to call the type of minister they want. And then they'd come there, and then they'd pay the minister a fee. We'd have to see their marriage license. Then we'd fill it out for them, Sue or myself, and then the minister would come and marry them. And then all of a sudden the buzzer would ring again, and Susie would stay there, and I'd have to take off and go back over to the motel and sign some more people up. And it was from day to night. All night long, sometimes people would come in from out of town, and the big casinos and hotels would be too much, and they want to move into this Z-rated motel called the Calneva. I mean, you know, and I had to do that, and I just knew I was happy all the time with it. It with the swamp coolers would break down, I'd have to go up, and I'm legally blind, and I have to get up on this rock roof on my hands and knees and find out where the leak was on these brass or these copper tubings up there. They had little fly wheels on them, and I'd have to get up there and make sure, oh, it's leaking over here. So I'd have to tighten the fly wheels up and whatever and find out where the leak was. And then I'd have to also paint the buildings. It was day and night, I'm telling you. And the Lord, I just do all the time. The Lord is watching me because I feel the Spirit, you know? And so I don't have to do that anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But if I did, when I was in prison for the gospel's sake, I had to clean stuff in there. And worst of all, I had to work in the laundry. Amen? Amen. And to shine the stuff up and sweep the floors and things like that. I says, you guys want me to sweep the floors? I says, you know, I can't see very good, but I'll do it if you, it's whatever, you know. And this one guy says, well, I don't want you to sweep my floor. He says, I saw your report on your eyes. And he says, I really don't want you to be a pipe fitter either. I wouldn't want you to fix the pipes in my house. I says, I wouldn't want me to do it either, you know. And out in the world, I always had somebody else do it. I think there's plenty of guys in this place where you maybe find somebody that's more qualified than I am. Okay, but anyway, just humble yourself. It doesn't matter what you're doing. And God puts you right. Now we've got our own television production studio and recording studio and beautiful churches, and we've got a worldwide work. And I'm just telling you this because, you know, whatever the Lord gives you to do, just do it with all your heart as unto the Lord. And when Susie was sick for 17 years, I washed the clothes and cooked the food and washed the dishes and everything. And I was just praising and thanking the Lord all the time and just praying to heal her. Praise the Lord. And she got upset with people, you know, just using the church. And I said, well, just keep doing it, you know, and the Lord will make a way here somehow. He always does. But she just, yeah, didn't want to send troops out to distribute literature anymore. And at that time, I wasn't even writing tracts. But then after she was gone, I prayed, and the Lord let me write tracts, all right? And to bring these messages lately, you know. I've done over close to about 400 messages now, this kind of, with this, just reading through the Bible. And I intend to go through the whole Bible, God willing. Okay, let's go. Keep going.
Verse 13. He wants to confirm you this day as his people and to confirm that he is your God, just as he promised you and as he swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
The Lord wants to be your God, but he first wants you to be his people too. I mean, it's an even bargain there. Amen?
Amen.
His people don't sin. His people don't shun away from work or try to beat out, you know, and loaf around. His people don't do that. Okay, and they don't take his word loosely. They don't just flim-flam, you know. I don't, you know, just put the things together just easy to get by or make it look like he did something. No, his people are meticulous. Okay, then what else?
Verse 14. But you are not the only ones with whom the Lord is making this covenant with its obligations. Verse 15.
Right, those people way back then, he makes that same covenant with us today. Then what?
The Lord your God is making this covenant with you who stand in his presence today and also with all future generations of Israel. Verse 16.
Israel is those that believe in God and do keep the covenant, you know, that you receive Christ as their Savior. The Word of God is their Savior. Then what else?
Surely you remember how we lived in the land of Egypt and how we traveled through the lands of enemy nations as we left. Verse 17. You have seen their detestable idols made of wood, stone, silver, and gold. Verse 18. The Lord made this covenant with you so that no man, woman, family, or tribe among you would turn away from the Lord our God to worship the gods of other nations, and so that no root among you would bear bitter and poisonous fruit. King James Version, verse 19. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. Verse 20. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man.
Yeah, you're saying, well, the Lord delivered me, and so now I'll go walk the toe according to my own. I'll get drunk and eat and drink and have sexual relationships with anybody I want and everything. And God says he's going to do what? What's that last thing?
The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. And
he'll destroy you. Okay, because you just turned your back on the promise. You made a promise and you broke it. Then what else?
And all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven.
That'd be it. All the curses. Chapter 20. You can reread them all the time. Then what else?
Verse 21. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. Verse 22. So that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land, shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it.
Yes.
Keep Verse going. 23. And that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath.
Right, and it's just like the same, if it's one kind of destruction or the other. Here comes all these hurricanes against Florida. People of Florida, repent. Turn your hearts to the Lord. Don't think that you can get by with not keeping his covenant, so that God will spare you. There's another hurricane genie coming your way that just devastated parts of some of the islands, like Puerto Rico. We just saw pictures of that in water. Now, some of the people live on the high ground over there, and they didn't get it as bad, but they were expecting floods 18 feet high. Ronald Jones told me, and the news media said the same thing, that everybody that would be in New Orleans would be killed. 10,000 body bags. So keep the covenant. Then what?
Verse 24. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land?
How come the Lord is sending these curses unto Florida and pointing over to New Orleans and stuff? Well, the mayor of New Orleans says he wants to have homosexual conventions there because they fill up the hotels and money. It makes money, 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 and they go and buy all kinds of stuff. You know, everything is not money. A lot of people yearn for money, and they get it, and then they get everything that they really wanted with the money, and then they find out that there's no joy. That, you know, it can give you temporary satisfaction. But when you get all that you want with it, that's all it is. And then what about the knowing that you're saved and that you're on your way to heaven? What about that? And to have the peace and joy and happiness in your heart. That's not there. So money does not bring that kind of happiness. You can eat good and be cursed. You can have all the different things that money can buy, all right, except health. Then what if you have all the things money can buy and your health is shot? And you're going to die of cancer or leukemia or some kind of thing. And then it dawns on you that your soul, that you've been sinning, and your soul is lost. And it's not going to be long before you die. And then you'll get warnings from the Lord, I'm going to kill you. You're going to die soon. And then what kind of joy is that? And you look at all the treasures that you bought with the money. And then you say, oh my God, no, take all this stuff. Take it. Take it. Just let me go to heaven. Even if you take my life, let me go to heaven. And the Lord says, well, you haven't been keeping my covenant. You're a sinner. You've been living a life of sin all these years. And so you're not going to heaven. You're going to die and you're going to hell. Then what pleasure would there be in life? None whatsoever. Amen?
Amen.
So please turn to the Lord, because everyone, it happens that way with everybody. Everybody goes through that trip. And it's a real bad trip. Okay? Then what else?
What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Verse 25. Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt.
And the covenant that he made is, if you do what I say, that's a big if, it's everything is conditional, then I'm going to bless you. And if you don't, my covenant is that I'm going to curse you and just rip you to shreds. Read chapter 28 again and you'll see. Then what else?
Verse 26. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. Verse 27. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book.
Right, just one chapter back, chapter 28. Then what?
Verse 28. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day. Verse 29.
Yeah, he rooted all those Canaanites and everything out of there. I mean, they were supposed to get them all out. Of course, the Jews did. God eventually destroyed them, and allowed the Jews to be destroyed because they didn't do what he said. They didn't keep the covenant. Then what?
Verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law.
Right. So the secret things of the Lord, I mean, he will do things for you. But these are things that are known to us, all these things that are revealed here. So let's, as long as they're revealed, why not do them? Okay? Because it is not profitable at all to not do them. It's very unprofitable to not do them. Amen? Okay, then go ahead. So that was, now let's do the translation on those few last verses here.
Okay, translation verse 19 through 29. Let none of those who hear the warnings of this curse consider themselves immune, thinking, quote, I am safe even though I am walking in my own stubborn way, unquote. This would lead to utter ruin, exclamation mark. Verse 20. The Lord will not pardon such people. His anger and jealousy will burn against them.
He won't pardon you. In other words, you can't repent if you're that kind of a person. It's impossible for you to repent. You just know you're gone. Okay, then what?
All the curses written in this book will come down on them, and the Lord will erase their names from under heaven. Verse 21. The Lord will separate them from all the tribes of Israel, to pour out on them all the covenant curses recorded in this book of the law. Verse 22. Then the generations to come, both your own descendants and the foreigners who come from distant lands, will see the devastation of the land, and the diseases the Lord will send against it.
Yeah, can you not see the devastation and the diseases that is happening now? These are plagues from God. Curses that are coming down upon the United States of America and all over the world. Earthquakes all over the world. Wars and rumors of wars and tornadoes and hurricanes. And earthquakes. Everything possible and all these different diseases. Then go ahead.
Verse 23. They will find its soil turned into sulfur and salt, with nothing planted and nothing growing, not even a blade of grass. It will be just like Sodom and Gomorrah, Adma and Zeboim, which the Lord destroyed in his anger. Verse 24. The surrounding nations will ask, quote, why has the Lord done this to his land? Why was he so angry? Unquote. Verse 25. And they will reply, quote, this happened because the people of the land broke the covenant they made with the Lord, the God of their ancestors, when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Verse 26. They turned to serve and worship other gods that were foreign to them, gods that the Lord had not designated for them. Verse 27. That is why the Lord's anger burned against this land, bringing down on it all the curses recorded in this book.
See, this is how you learn the true personality of the Lord. His anger burns against you and destroys you. Okay? So you see it here, and all throughout the Bible that we've read so far, that God is not just a God of love. He's not perpetually loving you because you sin or break covenant with him. He's just hating you and destroying you if you do. That's a promise, he said, the covenant. Then what?
Verse 28. In great anger and fury, the Lord uprooted his people from their land and exiled them to another land where they still live today, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 29. There are secret things that belong to the Lord our God, but their revealed things belong to us and our descendants forever, so that we may obey these words of the law.
Okay, that was the 29th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy and 29 verses, and now we have some commentary.
29 verse 1 through 29. This chapter contains the summary of God's acts from the Exodus to Israel's current arrival on the plains of Moab. It is followed by another rehearsal of the meaning of Israel's covenant relationship with God, verses 9 through 15, and further warnings of the consequences should there be in Canaan those whose hearts turn away from the Lord, verses 16 through 19. 29 verse 1. The covenant renewing ceremony at Moab reinforced the earlier ceremony in Horeb, chapter 5, verse 2. 29, verse 11, quote, the one who cuts, draws your water, unquote, refers to a class within the resident aliens. In other words, the strangers who were assigned menial tasks, see Joshua, chapter 9, verse 21 through 27. 29, verse 15, quote, with him who is not here with us today, unquote, refers to generations to be born. This reference is sobering since not only the future of the Israelites who were present, but that of their posterity was contingent upon their obedience. 29 verse 23.
And it's the same way today with God hasn't changed in that respect. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
The details of the hypothetical scene that is described are related to the Hebrew terms commonly used to represent God's anger or fire or brimstone or scorching or salt and the burning sulfur. Adma and Zeboim were located near the south end of the Dead Sea.
Yeah, but those terms were actual. And you can see that the curses are actual today. They're not hypothetical. They're really happening. All right?
Amen.
People really do have disease. That's not a hypothesis. And when these tornadoes and earthquakes and all everything that the curses that you see in the world today are not hypothesis. It's really happening. It's no joke. Then what?
Adma and Zeboim were located near the south end of the Dead Sea, close to Sodom and Gomorrah. 29 verse 29. God does not hold us responsible for what we do not know, but he makes it clear that we are responsible for what we do know, and what we do and what we don't do. This is not to say that God condones evil. He doesn't even condone ignorance of his revealed word. Rather, we are required to be aware of his instructions and keep his commandments. Only by seeking out God's word, the will in his scriptures, and then following it with his powerful help, will we be able to rebuild our life to the fullness of the stature of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And that was chapter 29 of Deuteronomy, and that was verses 29 verses, and that was the commentary. And we'll be doing chapter 30 later on this evening. And until then, meditate on these things. Constantly, every day, remember that you're in covenant with the Lord, and you're in promise, no matter what you think, you're in covenant. Because if you're doing what he says, you're going to be blessed, you're going to have the same relationship with the Lord that I do. And if you don't, the covenant, you're still in covenant with the Lord because he said he's going to curse you. All right? So try to remember that all the time. I know, you know, but you have to rehearse these two chapters in your mind. Constantly, because the reproof of the word is the way of life. And so don't neglect the reading of his word, because you could fall away if you did, because the human mind is not made to remember these things. That's why it is written that the reproof, the constant hearing and of the word, is the way to keep your eternal life. If you do this, you're going to be rejoicing in the Lord and be happy all the time. This do, and God is going to bless you. Praise the Lord, and amen.